This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
That's right, you're on Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9 for another Tuesday night with the crew, as we do every Tuesday night. And I'm Anthony.
And I'm James.
And we have a very special guest with us tonight. James, you always introduce our guests, don't you?
Oh, often. Yeah, it's becoming a tradition, is it? It's happened more than once, therefore.
It has. Would you like to...
It's a tradition. This is somebody I know fairly well. She's the co-founder of the Melbourne Bisexual Discussion Group, co-founder of the Bisexual Alliance, president currently of the Alliance, Rebecca Dominguez.
Yay.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you very much. And I think we should also say I have been in a relationship with James for very long time now.
Oh, it's only 20-odd years. is that something we should declare? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's really special that you're on the show and that you're here, that you and James are actually on the show here together tonight, because we were talking earlier about the bisexual community, and in actual fact, you are both responsible for, I guess, the birthplace of the bisexual movement or community, if you like, here in Melbourne.
Well, yeah, I would say probably not responsible for the birth of it. There was an organisation.
We were midwives.
There was an organisation that started before Bi Alliance, which is called Bi Victoria. And Bi Alliance came into being towards the end of that organisation's lifespan. There's organisations come into existence, have fun, and sometimes fade away, sadly.
Yeah, so, which happens when things are volunteer run. Sometimes the energy runs out and the whole thing sort of just peters out. It's sad, but it happens.
Yeah, and there were a small group of us who were interested in... Because Bi Victoria was a very social-oriented group, and a small group of us were quite interested in more activism and community support. So we started a group looking at those two areas for the community. And it's been running since April 2010.
And did you expect the discussion groups was the bread and butter of the Bi Alliance when it first started, was it?
Well, there was the discussion group's been running for 11 years. It's going to be 12 years this year. I think it's 12 yeah. years in September, which is kind of staggering when I think about it. But also the wonderful Sally Goldner, who does so much across so many different parts of the queer community in Melbourne and in Australia and indeed the world. I mean, she's an international queer advocate now as well. She was running several mailing lists for activism and news, and we thought, and we had a chat to Sally and thought, let's unify the whole thing and make some sort of peak body activism thing.
So did you know Sally prior to the Bi Alliance?
Yeah, because... we did met her. I think I'd first met her when in Bi Victoria, and we just a few other groups that were together in, and we realised we had very similar political views and goals in life in relation to activism, so it just worked out perfectly.
Right. So, I mean, what a find to have Sally Goldner attached to the Bi Alliance.
I know.
I just heard her on the radio on Joy earlier. She was in Russia. She'd been in Russia as well, sitting on a panel with Dennis Altman and some others.
She was in Russia. That was last year. And then earlier this year, she was in Thailand, I think, also doing queer activism there. And she's all over the place. Yeah, she does our books for us.
Right.
This is what happens when you join a volunteer community and you're a qualified accountant. You tend to get the treasurer role,
right?
Which is the job nobody wants to do.
Right.
But Sally is very good at.
She's
and,
a hero.
Yeah, and it's really good because she's also the executive director of Transgender Victoria, and there's a lot of kinship and community between the bi and trans communities. So we really get to continue that which is great because there are a lot of bi trans people, a lot of non-binary bi people, and yeah, it's great.
Well, it is great, but I sometimes kind of sympathise with non-bi people who get really confused just with bi on its own. But then, you know, because we're very close to the trans community and also the poly communities,
yes,
also,
yes.
And you know, gee, we must confuse the shit out of them.
Neighbours, yeah, we're across the road from the poly community, right. Yeah.
Right. So the Bi Alliance, we're going to talk a little bit about the Bi Alliance throughout the show. We'll talk about some other things. But if you want to get involved in the show today, please do. As always, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949. That's 0427-569-949. Send us an email, onair@joy.org.au. Also, if you want to catch any of our previous shows, you can go to our website, joy.org.au/triple bypass, and check out our podcasts. You can subscribe on iTunes, and remember to rate and review our show. Tell us how great we are.
Also, you can flick us a quick tweet if you're on Twitter, @triple bypass.
You can. So, before we go to our next song, because we are interested in the Bi Alliance, and you mentioned earlier that the Bi Alliance discussion groups meets monthly.
That's right. Yes.
Can I just ask why monthly? Do you think? Because I first attended, the first Bi thing I ever went to was at the Bi Alliance when you were all the way in sort of North Fitzroy on that hotel on the corner there, that main road.
Oh, the Parkview.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I remember thinking monthly felt like too far apart between drinks. Do you know what I mean? So
it's a lot to do with the fact that we're doing this with zero funding on our own time, effectively, and it's actually to run a discussion group is work, and it's great work. It's very rewarding work, but it's something that we can't do all the time, as much as we'd love to. And I don't know if there would be, if the discussion group would work at a smaller intervals, like maybe fortnightly or not.
From the other perspective as well, I don't know if we ever tried it with Bi Victoria or the Bi Alliance, but I know that some of the other groups we're involved in, they have tried, you know, bi-monthly meetups, and they just found that attendance dropped off a lot because a lot of people went, oh, should we go? Oh, the next one's only in 2 weeks. I'll go to that one instead.
Okay.
And attendance really, really tapered off a lot.
Okay. So keep them keen. Spread them further apart.
Yep, okay. If you spread them further apart, that will keep them keen. Yes. Thank you for that, Anthony.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. On that note, we're going to go to a track. And James, what are we listening to?
We're going to listen to the fantastic bisexual Adelaide singer Sia and her song The Fight.
You're on Joy. And this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. You're here with Anthony.
And James.
And Rebecca.
Yay. Woo. So Rebecca here is from the Bi Alliance and has been talking to us about, well, how it all got started.
Yes, back in the day.
And other things. So,
oh, back in the mists of time.
It is. And we heard Sia, The Fight, the brilliant Sia, who we often hear on this show.
We don't have enough out bisexual performers, so we make the most of the ones we have.
Yeah, we like to reward them and acknowledge them. Why shouldn't we? It's a bisexual show.
Yeah.
So, Rebecca, we've been talking about Bi Alliance and discussion groups and why, I guess, strategically it might be important to keep them at monthly meetings. What are the common concerns that people who identify as bi sort of talk about when they get there? What are the things that come up?
There's quite a few themes that recur during our discussion group. So one of the ones, as we were discussing during the song, was the fact that so many people feel that they're expected to prove that they're bisexual. You know, oh, no, I've had relationships with people of more than one gender over my life and therefore I'm bi. And that whole, how do you know that you're really bi or not?
I don't believe you.
It's just, and you don't ask people to prove things about, you know, their taste in clothes or food or who they're going to vote for.
You like green tea? Drink it now. Drink this cup of green tea.
Prove it.
Prove to me that you like green tea. Yeah.
And so it's just weird that you don't trust someone when they say, I'm bisexual, because apparently that's something that people don't just trust other people about. And, you know, and it's so funny because you read, well, I read on when I browse the internet about common frustrations bisexuals face, that so many people say to bisexual people, if you're a bi man, oh, well, obviously you're going to be gay. And if you're a bi woman, oh, you're obviously going to end up with a man, because clearly it's all about the cock.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the preeminent thing that exists in the world is penises and everyone wants them.
Right, your penis envy.
And, you know, and
once, once a man has had a taste of penis, he's gay forever.
Right.
That's right.
But it just doesn't stick with women, apparently, and they'll always go back to the cock eventually.
And it's just weird, it's because it's like, hang on, why, I mean, apart from patriarchy and sexism and all that sort of stuff, but you're denying the lived experience of multiple, well, if, according to studies, 50% of the LGB population are they bisexual, so... Why would you say, well, we don't exist, you're not really, it's a phase, you don't know what you're talking about, all that sort of stuff.
Well, it's interesting because I think about when I've told people that I'm bi and you know the people that you have in your life that believe you and get it, and you know the people along the way who have made some comments and you think, oh, okay, they're still there, they still think I'm gay, or okay, they still think I'm straight and maybe I'm just going through a phase. Or, you know how you sort of we make those assessments? And then sort of, because we perform gender and sexuality, don't we, sometimes, and I can act really camp sometimes and I enjoy to do so. and
that's good.
When I sort of camp it up a little bit in front of the people who are just convinced that I'm gay and that think that I'm attached myself to this silly little label because of, you know, for convenience or whatever, I think I almost feel responsible for sort of reinforcing their own belief. And I think a lot of bi people have to sort of grapple with those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to have all these expectations. And it's the same sort of crap that gay and lesbian people have gone through themselves. It's like, well, how do you really know that you're gay? How do you really know you're a lesbian? Mm. And then to have that put on us, and it's not just like gay and lesbian people who do it. Straight people do it.
Awfully familiar.
Straight people do it as well. Are you sure? Do you really know?
Yes.
It's like, well, just stop. Just take a step back and go, okay, and that's it. You don't have to understand something to accept it. You can just go, that's real for you.
And it is funny as well, but staying away from the, you know, trying not to be too negative, one of the great things that always comes up in the discussion groups, which happens so often, is when people turn up and they sort of go, oh my God, like they'll listen to the first, you know, 20, 30 minutes of conversation, and then they'll say, oh wow, you know, it's real. It's really real, and I'm not alone, and this thing that I've felt that I am, and I've had so many people telling me it's not real and it's not valid. It really is real. Mm. It really is valid. There is actually a community of other people out there like me, and you know, I'm not a weird mutant freak of nature. I'm part of a community. There are people out there who are like me, who have experiences that they can share with me and wisdom they can share with me, and it's incredibly empowering for those people when they find out, you know, they're really not alone.
And was that part of the motivation for, you know, really sort of pushing through with the Bi Alliance, because and the
Absolutely.
Discussion groups? Because a sense of community is really important. Like,
yeah, and so many people come back to the discussion group because they know they will be in a room with people who understand them. And that's very powerful, particularly when you are isolated from your community because maybe your family doesn't get it, your friends don't get it. You can walk into a room and sit there with a whole lot of people who get it. And then that's very powerful and very reassuring for people, and that's definitely one of the reasons why we've kept doing it.
And there's a degree of work that has to be done when you're in a not a completely supportive environment as well, where, you know, you can say something about yourself, and even if people believe you and are reasonably supportive, there's still a feeling that you need to explain it, because especially for people who, I mean, bisexuality gets enough crap, but there's also, you know, people who are pansexual, a lot of people don't even know what that is.
Right.
And they'll say, oh, what is that? And every second conversation they have to explain who, you know, what it means, what the terminology means. No, yeah. It's not the same as that. No.
Yeah.
Why don't you just identify as bi? Well, I choose not to because blah, 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 blah. And they have to have that conversation 47 million times a day. And it's exhausting.
Yes.
You know, and the same thing happens with bisexuals, and the same thing will quite often happen with, you know, intersex people and stuff like that. And one of the great things about the discussion group is that people can come along and they'll go, hey, I'm bi, or hey, I identify as pan, or whatever, and everyone just goes, okay, and they nod.
Yeah.
And nobody says, what does that mean?
Yeah, right. Right. So, and I think it's in the nodding, isn't it? That's just knowing that other people are nodding, and you know that they know that you know that they know that you know that they know.
Yeah, everyone gets it.
Right. So you're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. This is James and Anthony, and we're here talking to Rebecca Dominguez from the Bi Alliance. We're talking discussion groups and being bi-fabulous. I'm thinking about the other bi-fabulous people who might be attending these groups as well, people who don't necessarily identify as bi or pan, but people who might be partners or family or
absolutely, yeah,
or friends of people who are bisexual. So do they, is that, are they, do they commonly sort of turn up to the groups?
That we've had over the years, many people. We've had partners, we've had siblings, we've had parents, we've had friends.
We've even had kids.
We've had kids.
The children of people who have come along for themselves that brought their kids as well.
And often those people are there to support because it can be quite nerve-wracking walking into a room full of strangers. And it's, you know, it is nice to know that someone's there with you if you are, you know, a bit anxious. And I completely understand that. And again, we've had people who've come along regularly who's then, you know, spent time as support people with us, who've then started going, you know, the world's not as black and white as I thought it was. Maybe I could be attracted to more than one gender. I'm thinking about that for myself. That's something I've never really considered before.
Yeah, and some of them, they don't necessarily explore it, but just the simple fact that their mind's open to the possibility now, it's really cool. Like, we've had quite a few people who've said, you know, I just came along because I wanted to support my partner, but now I'm just looking at it and going, yeah, maybe I am. Like, if the opportunity ever came up, you know, if I ever sort of felt that connection with somebody, I might actually be inclined to look to explore it now and know that it's okay, which is really awesome. And we've also had quite a few times people have come along with a partner because somebody's actually come along alone and found the community and really connected with it and come along a few times, and then after a few months they've brought a partner along because their partner's like, so what's so special about this group, why do you want to go there? It's like, come along, check it out. We get people coming along that way as well.
Right. And sometimes, I guess it can help sometimes for the partners of bi people to sort of hear other bi people talk about it as well. And to also, you know, to sit in a room full of other bi people so that, you know, that we can sort of, you know, we're normal. We breathe the same
air
they breathe.
Yep.
We still have two eyes and 10 fingers, 10 toes. And
and yeah, also that we, you know, the things that their partner or sibling or friend or child or parent or whatever is going through, it's not just them, you know, the anxiety they have or the anger they have or whatever it is that they're facing is a can be a common thing amongst the group. So someone might say, you know, I read this article and it really upset me because it used biphobic language and was, you know, quite dismissive of bisexuality. And everyone around the table will go, yeah, that's really awful. And then the support people can go, oh, okay, I can see that this is upsetting and that's why it's upsetting.
Right.
And that's, you know, that sort of small outreach that from the people who come along helps, you know, educate people about bisexuality.
Yeah. And then I guess they can then sort of go on and become not only allies but advocates of
bi people
and to sort of fight any sort of biphobia out in the community. So we're gonna come back. We're gonna go to a track. And James, are we listening to?
We are going to listen to another fantastic bisexual performer, Sinead O'Connor, and this is her track, "Daddy, I'm Fine."
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Triple Bypass. This is Your Voice, your radio station on Joy 94.9 and Triple Bypass here on Tuesday night, like we are every Tuesday night. And if you want to get in on the action, feel free to send us an SMS on 0427 Joy 949. I'm Anthony.
And I'm James.
And I'm Rebecca.
Yes, we're here with Rebecca from the Bi Alliance. And I believe, James, that we have a message.
We do. We have a message from Joey asking, it says, it's great to hear from Rebecca on what the Bi Alliance does. Are you looking for more people to help volunteer to run meetings to support the longevity of the group? I think the answer to that is yes.
I mean, more volunteers would be great. We are basically, our committee is a whole 9 people, and they're the main people who run the organisation. And there are a lot of things that call on our time. And, you know, come along to our discussion group. The next one is Tuesday next week at the Great Northern Hotel in Carlton on Rathdown Street.
It's a good place.
In the fuzzy dog room.
The room with the fuzzy dog wallpaper. It's a great room. It's a great room. And it's a great pub. And, you know, come along, meet us, talk to us, figure out, you know, come and see how the discussion group runs.
And even if you don't want to volunteer and you just want to look for some support, you can come along as well.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And you can hang out with some cool bisexual people.
You don't even have to be bi. You could be questioning. You could be straight as a die and still come along just because you want to make friends with some awesome bi people, if you like.
Sounds good. And you run on the third Tuesday of every month?
Fourth Tuesday.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I beg your pardon.
And it is the fourth Tuesday, not the last Tuesday. So whenever there are five Tuesdays, it's still the fourth Tuesday, not the last Tuesday. It's confusing. A lot of people miss discussion groups.
The discussion group starts at 7:30 at night. We encourage people to turn up from 7 so they can order food, have it served in the dining room. It is a private dining room. Staff come in and take away plates and glasses and stuff, but they're really good. They're very supportive of us using the space. So
yeah, they know what we do and what our cause is, and they're really, really supportive. They're really lovely.
Yeah.
So how do you prepare for a discussion group? I mean, what you've been doing this for a long time. You know what the sort of commonly might sort of come up when people are sharing throughout the night. Is there, do you have a specific issue that you might want to sort of address that might be coming up or on any particular month, or do you just go with the flow?
Often we go with the flow. There are times when there is something specific, like, for example, when the Conservative government was attacking safe schools, for example, we did spend time talking about that because it upsets our entire community and it upset us quite a lot. So we talked about that and what we could do, how to keep ourselves safe, how to not burn out. So sometimes there are specific topics that we go through because of something's happened in the media or in society, and other times it's just people talking about their own experiences and how they're going and what they've done and felt recently.
And also sometimes a group will take a little while to warm up and you know, it'll take a little while for people to start talking, and it's good to have a couple of topics in your pocket just to get people chatting.
Right. And because there's also, because the people who come along to the discussion groups will get to know each other along the way and start to feel more comfortable and might, I know for me anyway, I was a sort of infrequent attendee, if you like, but I knew that was a place where I could sort of more freely discuss the things I might have wanted to talk about in terms of my understanding of I wasn't there to speak on behalf of anyone else, but my own understanding of my own bisexuality and how that was being expressed.
And there's, as I said, there are people who come back because of they found a community, and people who come two or three times and then we don't see them for a couple of years and then they come back. And there's full range of spectrums, and every month we have new people come along, and some of them come back and some of them don't, but we do our best to make them feel welcome, because it can be intimidating walking into a room where people know each other. And you're going, I don't know any of these people. They seem to know each other. They seem to know what they're talking about.
Right.
And so we really work hard at making it a welcoming and safe environment.
And there have been some funny stories about people who struggled to come to take that last step and actually come into the venue. We had somebody who ended up coming along for years and ended up running a group, like a sister group down the peninsula. And she confided the first time she came in that she came to the venue and sat in her car outside and didn't come inside 3 months in a row.
Aww.
It was her fourth time when she finally actually came in, because she just couldn't quite work up the nerve to do it. And once she did, she was very glad. But she was a little embarrassed to admit that.
Well, I think I know who you're talking about, because she ran the group out in Frankston. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, which sadly she had to stop running because of work commitments. Then someone else was running for a while and they had to stop running it because work commitments, and we couldn't find someone else to replace it.
And we had a group down in Geelong and they lost their venue and they couldn't keep running their Geelong group anymore. So it's just the Melbourne group at the moment.
Yeah, and it's more than just the fourth Tuesday of each month. Is that right? Am I getting confused now with the poly people? There's a sort of Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's a poly.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. Right,
yeah,
right.
That's all right. We can talk about them too if you like.
We completely stole their format, so it's okay.
Right. So, in that regard, you get a lot of poly people at the poly groups and sort of the same sort of similar faces coming to the bi group, do you?
There's a bit of an overlap. The two groups are close enough that we have a once a year Bi Poly Picnic in January every year, which is always a huge, really fun event where we just find a big tree in a park and sit around and share food. And, you know, we get anywhere between 50 and 100 people showing up, and that's always great fun. But, yeah, just that one big event every year. But for the most part, we just sort of we maintain ties. But we also have that thing where a lot of people, they really want to say, there are lots of monogamous bisexuals as well.
Yes, yes. And I think that's something Ruby often tries to, hammer home, particularly when we talk about poly and the poly and bi relationship on the show quite a bit. But and one of the things actually that I learned very quickly when I started going to the poly groups was that the majority of people in the room I found were often cisgendered women and straight women.
That's right, yeah. It's funny that so many people assume that a poly community is going to be full of bisexual people. And it's full of all sorts of people. It's full of straight people, it's full of gay people, it's full of lesbian people, it's full of bisexual people. The first ever poly picnic I went to, Sue Ann Post was there, the comedian, and I'm just like, oh my God, I love her. And I was like, I'm too shy to go and talk to her. It's like it's people of all different orientations and beliefs, and it's a very big, you can't really stereotype, except that, there'll be people who identify as men and people who identify as women, and there'll be some non-binary people too.
Right. So on that note, we're going to go to another track.
Yeah.
And James is our studio DJ, in-house DJ tonight. who we got coming up, James?
Well, we can't sort of play. I didn't really mean to, but we're playing all bisexual women tonight. And this one's a great Aussie artist that we play a lot of. It's Missy Higgins. This is Unashamed Desire.
We do love Missy. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy. Yep, you're on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And I'm Rebecca.
And that was our system glitch. And we're here talking about the Bi Alliance, the Bi community, and we're here with Rebecca and James Dominguez, who are both largely responsible for creating a very visible bi space here in Melbourne.
Full disclosure, I am the facilitator of the Bisexual Discussion Group, and I am the current Vice President of the Bi Alliance.
Well, someone has to do it.
I wear a lot of hats.
Yes, you do. You do. So one of the other things that you've often talked about is with the Bi Alliance. Bi Alliance does some advocacy work as well, and you do have a presence down there at the Pride March every year.
That's right. Yes,
and where the Bi Alliance people crowd have started to warm up to the Bi Alliance people over the years, haven't they? Because they weren't so kind to begin with.
No. I remember the first march I was in 2007 was I walked down the street and people were booing us. And you're like, why would you do that? I also found it weird that people were applauding me for walking because I thought, well, I do that normally. Don't generally get people to clap.
And to be fair, more were applauding than were booing.
But it was just really disconcerting. And for multiple years, people continued heckling us. And then we spoke to the Pride Committee, as it was at the time, with the support of Joy, Star Observer, and the Pride Committee. We had this big sort of campaign to stop the abuse at Pride, which was quite successful.
And what did that campaign look like? What was it?
There was a lot of discussion. So myself, James, Sally, and a few other committee members were on the air, were quoted and interviewed for articles, just talking about how being part of the LGBTI community, that's what the B is there for after all, means that Pride is for all of us, not just for some of us.
It was just one of those things where, when a lot of this stuff can really only survive in the dark, like if people don't talk about it, if people don't sort of address it or acknowledge it, it can carry on. When you shine a light on it, that's when people sort of look at themselves and go, oh, yeah, that does look pretty ugly, doesn't it? Maybe I shouldn't do that.
And so for a couple of years, we marched at Pride with no negative comments or jeers or anything from the crowd. And then it started up again. This year we worked with Midsummer and VGLRL to, again, combat that. And I'm very happy to support that not a single negative comment was heard by any of our marches at Pride this year.
So was there another incident or event or a specific reason for working with Midsummer?
Yeah, last year, a couple of people shouted, you know, get off the fence, you know, what are you doing here type comments. Yeah. And you're just like...
The one that I heard was, there's no such thing. That was nice.
Yeah, and it's like, what are you doing? This is our community's day, and you're telling part of the community that it doesn't exist or doesn't belong.
And you just imagine those same people reacting if somebody said, you know, if they said, or an ally of theirs said that they were lesbian. It's like, oh, there's no such thing as lesbianism right. doesn't exist. Right. They'd be outraged, and rightly so.
So I wonder where that work would be done, or who would be doing that work if the Bi Alliance wasn't doing that work. Because I guess with creating visibility and dispelling myths and fighting biphobia, sometimes it seems to me that it takes a bit of sort of work and repetitiveness.
Absolutely, and a lot of education. So this show is a great example of the types of, you know, being visible, being present, having that voice so people can hear it, and listening to the myths that people believe about bisexuality and trying to dispel them.
And still, one of the most powerful things that anyone can do, and it's what we're doing right here tonight in the studio, is just being visible. Simply being out and proud is such a deeply political act. Like it's an act of when you're surrounded by people who tell you that you don't exist. Simply standing up in public and saying I do exist is an act of defiance.
So you interviewed Maria Plotashiroli recently.
Yes, she was brilliant.
She is lovely. And I was, James and I, well, I was interviewed for the book that not in the book, but The Age asked to interview me in part of the publicity for the book. And a photographer came around and took photos of James and I, thousands of them. apparently he needed thousands of photos to pick through. But it was interesting because I went to work the next day after it was in the newspapers, not knowing if it was actually going to be in the newspaper that day or the next day. And my colleagues came up to me and said, you're in the paper. They were really excited for me. I had a supplier that I was working with thank me for being so visible. It was like, this really makes a difference. And a friend of my sister's who I happened to bump into again said, thank you, this stuff's really important. It's so glad that you're visible and you're out there. I forget, because I'm out, how important it is to be out.
Yes.
And it really makes a difference being out, because people can go, see, bisexual people do exist. They're there. We're here. Right. We're part of a community.
I agree, and I've had that experience at work. I work for a very well-known queer organisation. I won't name them, but I guess I'm the only sort of openly bi person there that I know of anyway. I found myself having a lot more conversations about it since being out. And you're almost called into sort of activism without sort of necessarily sort of putting your hand up for it, even though I do go looking for a fight. I think it is really important to be out. You don't realise how important it could be for others, because I'm sure there are other bi people in the building, but I guess, you know, we don't know who in fact we're actually working for.
That's one of the reasons why visibility is so important. I mean, I have a friend who is also a very big part of a gay male community in Melbourne, and he's openly bi, and he actually has quite a few people who he just assumed were gay men coming up to him quietly and having private conversations and saying, you know, I'm bi, I'm not really comfortable being out as bi in this community, so I sort of just let people assume I'm gay. But thank you so much for doing the work that you do.
Mm. Yeah, it's a common story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Speaking of activists and creating visibility, we've got our regular listener, Jade, who's just sent us an email, sending loves and hugs. Cheers, Jade.
Oh, loves and hugs back to you, Jade.
Yes, thanks, Jade, as always. Are we going to go to another track, James?
Yeah, let's go to another track.
What have we got? What have we got? We've got a bit of a theme with our artists tonight.
I didn't really mean it, but we're playing a lot of female bisexual artists tonight. This is somebody who was little known, even though she was her debut album was the very first album published under David Geffen's Asylum label, Judy Sill, a sort of very unusual sort of alternative folk gospel kind of musician from the early 70s. She was fantastic, and she was openly bisexual at a time when nobody was, and she was an amazing pioneer. And this is get ready to chill out. This one's we've been playing a few jumpy, bouncy songs. This one's a nice chill one, just for to relax for 4.5 minutes. So this is The Kiss by Judy Sill.
You are on Joy 94.9 here at Triple Bypass, and I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And I'm Rebecca.
And we've been it's been a bisexual filled show with music tonight, hasn't it?
Yes, all bisexual women. We've got one more to come later.
And I guess it fits very nicely with our discussion on the bi alliance and bi activism.
Absolutely.
And visibility here in Melbourne.
Yeah, because the coming up on 12 years at the bisexual discussion group, which is great.
Do you have an anniversary date for the Bi Alliance?
It was funny because the first discussion group happened around the same time as Celebrate Bisexuality Day.
Which was a total coincidence.
So we just used that as our anniversary. It's a great day anyway, on the 23rd of September, so we just continue doing that.
Great. And talking about celebrating, we're going to give a plug to Maria Palotta Chiarelli, who was on our show a couple of weeks ago. And the gorgeous Maria, if you are listening, we love you dearly. Thank you so much for coming on. And we received your books. So if you want to check out Maria's books, you can go to our podcast, actually, where we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But she has a couple of amazing books out there for you to read. Love You Too is one that she talked about. She was on the show talking about the bi men, bi women, the Australian research on bisexual men and the women that are married to them.
She's one of the few academics working in Australia who's doing... There's only a handful. There are a couple doing really good work, but she's one of the very few who are really working in the bisexual space, really trying to advance our knowledge in that field.
Well, we'll get her back on the show.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, and Rebecca, thank you so much for coming
You're
on the
welcome.
Show tonight and keeping us informed about what's happening in the Bi Alliance spaces. I mean, I know we have James on nearly every week keeping us posted, but what can we expect from the Bi Alliance for this month and the next in the coming months?
Well, we're looking at the possibility of running a conference next year on bisexuality. So we're sort of mapping that out, looking at how much it's going to cost, where the money's going to come from, that sort of stuff.
Bicon.
Nice one. Oh, we do love a pun, don't we? And thank you to everyone who's texted in, who's been listening, and to our regular listeners also. We are up next with the Lady Chantelaine show with some awesome tracks. So stay tuned, because we're not the only show that plays awesome tracks, but you're coming up in the next hour. We've got some groovy tunes coming up. So thanks again for tuning in for another Tuesday night. This has been Triple Bypass. I have been and am Anthony.
I'm James.
And I'm Rebecca.
And this is Triple Bypass on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.